A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's a very exciting day. Mondays are always an exciting day for us. At the beginning of Mass, we get free among us who will receive the Eucharist for the first time. We'll get to that, but it's also an exciting weekend because we have 7 new deacons in our diocese. 7 men who have joined your ranks, in my ranks. I'm still a deacon. I was saying 5 for a while, and I got there to Mass, I'm like, wait a second, there's 7. I think it's because 5 of the men were ordained to the diaconate as permanent deacons, and 2 of the men, that's what we call transitional deacons, they're on their way to the priesthood and being ordained deacons as part of that journey there, that process, and they're still deacons, they're not temporary deacons, they'll remain deacons for the rest of their life, but that distinction there. But 7 men, thanks be to God, who have said, "I want to commit my life more fully to the service of all of you, to Jesus' church. Be a more public figure," so we pray for their holiness and their continued health and success, but it's a reason to give thanks. But we have the Feast of the Ascension, and I'm going to mention that, but it has in a particular way that comes to mind today, a connection to the Eucharist. And so, and not to put the young folks on the spot, their parents are welcome to help them, because their parents should know this. These are easy questions, but I want to ask you a question if you're willing to answer. Who is it that you're about to receive in the Eucharist? Who is it that you're about to receive for the first time? You're going to receive your first communion, and who is it in communion that you're going to receive? God. And we can say even more than that, can't we? Because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God in 3 persons. What does the bread become? It's changed, right? Not very tasty bread, but it's bread. It becomes Jesus, body of Jesus. It's an amazing thing. It's body. And it's receiving his body because Jesus is one. And Jesus is both like us, human, but he's also God. In the Eucharist, we receive Jesus, as we say, body, blood, soul, and divinity, all of Jesus. In a very unique, strange way, a sacramental way, but all of them. And yet today, again, with the Ascension, I would say something that maybe is a little surprising, maybe a little shocking to some of you, but except for Mary, all the saints in heaven are not fully happy yet. They're still waiting for something. Mary's still waiting too, and they, along with Jesus, have a concern for all of us, but that's a subject for another time. What is it that they're all waiting for, that Mary's now waiting for? They're waiting for their bodies. And without their bodies, and again, a new glorified body like Jesus's, but without that resurrection of the body, they're still incomplete. And their happiness, the fullness of their happiness, is still to come too. And the Ascension reminds us of that. And even this connection to thinking about Jesus ascending, right? It seems very clear from what we're told, what we heard today, that as they were there on the Mount of Olives, right to the east of Jerusalem, you can go there still, maybe not too far from the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was before his arrest. But he was like lifted bodily up, and we're told that he disappeared from their sight. But maybe some of the concept of heaven, been there sometimes for me too, but we can think of heaven as some far off place, like we just got to get to the edge of the universe, some several billion light years away, and that's heaven. Or even that it's somehow disconnected with our life here, our bodily material life in particular. Like, we need to leave that behind, and then we get to heaven. But the reality is, and this we see before Jesus, as God was revealing himself to the Jews, and now more clearly as Christians, but our sense of kind of heaven is not something separate, but rather all of creation was made for God and for heaven, and they're meant to be united. And Jesus, in his ascension, why is this a moment of joy and hope for all of us? It's because he's completing this uniting what was divided from the fall. Our ancestors turning away from God, and that's why Jesus came, but uniting us to God first and foremost, because we're made for God. But to think of heaven really as really it's God himself. And so Jesus' ascension is actually drawing us closer to God, closer to heaven. It's uniting us, helping overcome the divisions that exist between us, one another. And that union is meant to be so profound. We speak, of course, of each other and Jesus as brothers and sisters, but as we heard in our second reading, an image familiar to many of us, I'm sure, is that we're the body of Jesus, we're one. And that was the original intent why we were created. And Jesus' ascension, completing, bringing about that union of all of creation with God. But also within ourselves, because we're one. But we're also body and soul. Part of us material, part of us immaterial, but they weren't meant to be separated and divided. One of the horrors of death, that the body and soul are separated. Jesus has overcome all that, but he's brought our entire humanity, body and soul, bodily into heaven, and brought those two together. Not some far off distant place so much as God's presence. It's so important. Because, of course, we look forward to a day and hope when, willing, as we abide in Jesus, we can have that assurity, because God promised it, that though we will die here and our bodies will turn to dust, Jesus will come and we will rise bodily from the dead, as we'll all profess in a few moments, and it will be a glorified body, but our body and our soul will be perfectly united. There will be no inner discord, but only harmony. We still experience that. And the ascension is that great reminder. Because even before the Jews, even before Jesus, in times throughout the church history, in the church and outside of the church, so it's not something that as believers we don't struggle with and to work through, but sometimes there can be that image that, again, there's something almost evil with the material world. But there isn't. You know, God created the world and it's very good. And sometimes that struggle, that sense can be even with our own body. We all experience that tension and that disharmony at times. Think about Paul, who said, why do I do the thing I don't want to do and do the thing and don't do the good thing that I do want to do? He's not talking about some external influence, something outside of him, but within his very self. There's a tension there, there's a disharmony, there's a brokenness, a division that Jesus unites, and the ascension is about that for each of us. And recognize that includes our bodies. Our bodies are part of who we are. We don't just leave them behind. It's part of who we are. And they were made very good. But there's that tension. Again, sometimes throughout history, and we see it even now, we live among this, where there can be that mindset of our bodies is almost like clothes. We just want to set it aside. It's not. Our view isn't that there's inert material matter out there that somehow the spiritual world just works with, but this union, body and soul for us. And so to think of little, but also sometimes big ways, where Jesus comes to bring healing, and his ascension isn't just showing us the truth, That's important, what reality is like. And the truth will set us free, but also it brings us hope. You know, as well, right? Some of us struggle in this area in a big way. We talk these days about those who experience the term right now is gender dysphoria, but someone who would experience my body is so much not me, I need to change it. Well, so again, we can experience that in little ways. Wish I had a different nose, or wish I had more hair, wish I had that person's eyes. And sometimes at the level of who I am, and we come out there and say, well, gender and being male and female, those things are separate. And we know God is compassion. Jesus comes with his compassion. Jesus' first word and his last word really is compassion. He also comes to reveal and to call us. Sometimes there's a challenge in there, but what does God reveal? That he made us male and female, and our bodies are part of who we are. And so there's a very diverse way of kind of experiencing and living, and what does it mean to be masculine or feminine? We don't want to have such a rigid, fixed, narrow stereotype of that, that we don't acknowledge that truth and help people enter into that. But that's kind of that experience of our gender. That's different than being male and female. But we don't separate those things, male and female, gender, that's in our body. And it's to realize God comes to redeem us so we can all experience that disharmony within. And what is the way to experience that peace and that fullness? It's in Jesus. And to say, Jesus has redeemed us. He brings us into God's presence. And so in that regard, Jesus would say, the kingdom of God is among you and me. We live in heaven even now. Not in our bodies fully yet, but even now we're in heaven because of Jesus. And heaven is among us. So to ask for that grace, you know, someone said there's no greater task, greater work in this life for all of us than that human activity of trying to integrate our bodies and our sexuality with the rest of our lives and experience that wholeness. And it's a hard work, but it's full of hope in Jesus. And it's really because of Jesus, and particularly because of his body. Jesus, God in Jesus, in his humanity, shows us what it means to be human, both male and female. And at the heart of that is this self-gift. And as we grow in making a gift of ourselves, and certainly a big part of that gift is the ability to bring new human life. But that's the gift. And so the Eucharist is not only Jesus showing us his love and showing us what it means to be human and how to use our bodies, and that our bodies make present ourselves, but also he gives us himself, the gift of his body out of love, and to strengthen us, or to help us to love in that way. He wants us to have this hope, an unshakable hope of what lies ahead, what is already ours in Jesus. And so that includes that, that inner life that we all experience. So it's infinite, so it's tremendous. But to be able to press in here at Mass, see the great gift of the Mass with so many realities, so many aspects of it, but it's to say the body of Jesus is to help me to be made whole and to be able to make that known. You know, again, it's kind of a strange thing where we're celebrating Jesus disappearing from our sight. He says, I'm with you always, but this almost this going away in some ways. Usually we don't celebrate when someone we love goes away. Usually it's someone that we don't care for. All right, yeah, that person's gone, finally. No, you've never done that? Okay, that's good, you're better than I am. But Jesus says it's good that I go away for our sake. And he says, again, part of it is what we've just been reflecting on. He also says very clearly that I need to go away. If I don't go back to the Father, and if I don't bring our humanity to the Father, we can't send the Holy Spirit to you. And that's happened. And it's really the Holy Spirit that is the one who's doing all of this healing with Jesus and the Father and uniting us. And that Jesus or the Holy Spirit dwells in us, even bodily, in our baptism. But we look forward to that. Ascension's intimately connected to what we'll celebrate next Sunday, Pentecost. But it's, you see the power of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as we open up our hearts to Him. He's able to do amazing things and continue and this work of transformation, of healing, of being reconciled even within ourselves can increase. But also, He sends us out, right? Jesus says, you'll be my witnesses. We use churchy words like mission, but a big part of that is us now being the body of Jesus, going out and being His presence in the world to help reconcile that others to the Father, to do the very work of Jesus, to bring heaven to them so that they can experience that healing of divisions, certainly the divisions with one another, divisions within creation, but also the division within. That's our work. The Holy Spirit's been given to us. You know, again, most of the world celebrates Ascension on Ascension Thursday, which is 9 days before Pentecost, because that's how long it was between Jesus ascending and then Pentecost originally. And many of you are familiar with novenas, probably. We do pray all sorts of novenas, but here, this is the one that was instituted by Jesus. Because what did He say? He said, go and pray. Don't do anything. Don't go out until you get the Holy Spirit filled with His power. So we have that Spirit. We don't want to not acknowledge that, but we want to acknowledge too that sometimes because of our need for more healing, but also just that reality of we can grow in the Spirit. So I just encourage all of us in this week leading up to next, pray in a special way. Pray for the Holy Spirit to grow. Maybe to press in for yourself. Think about ways that you know there's that desire but that need for greater healing within. Be more at peace. This isn't glorifying or worshiping the body. That's not what we're talking about. But to know God's love for you, that unconditional love, it's very good that you exist, including your body. Not anybody else's body, yours. And that Jesus is in Him, we're already in heaven. And we look forward to the day, again, where there's not suffering, there's no pain, but also there's no inner discord. And the Holy Spirit's at work. And ask for that, because as well then, we ask for that grace, that strength to be that witness, to be able to be, not just in our words, but in our deeds, to be that presence of Jesus, His body in the world, for your family, for your friends, for your co-workers, for strangers. Knowing the part of the brokenness that's out there and that we all experience, but hopefully for you, certainly for me, to say less and less so in Jesus, but part of that brokenness is within. And to know that we bring hope for that. Not us, but the good news of Jesus. So for some of us, for the first time, for many of us, for who knows, the thousandth and thousandth time, to receive Jesus in the Eucharist again, in a new way to press in all the desires of your heart in this area, to see His ascension. How is Jesus going away? He's very much with us above all in the Eucharist, but taking us with Him, as He said, preparing a place, but also doing that so we can share fully in the joys of heaven, including in our bodies. So let's stand together.